The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So now you're stuck with me. Where's Tom? Do you have any announcements?
I guess just that the readings for next week are on the table in the back here. So if you want to grab one to take home, there's a small change in the way we're doing things. The readings are not in the bulletin. So Pastor abides by faith, comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And so if you want to take your lessons for next week, you can pick them up on the corner.
Also, because of the extreme cold weather that's supposed to be coming tomorrow, the Minnesota North confessional meeting that's going to be held at Zion has been canceled, and it'll just be next month. Anybody else have announcements? Yes?
Yeah, the voters meeting tomorrow at Zion evening. So,
okay. 50 below.
At the Emmanuel Voters meeting is after service today.
Okay, thank you. Nobody else? No Detroit fans? Our order of service is page 15. And please rise as we sing our opening hymn, The Church is One Foundation.
Earth's sorrow.
and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart to confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sins.
Almighty God,
merciful Father, I, poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee in thy father's mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, the poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with the introit, which is printed in your bulletin. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you.
We sing praises to your name.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord.
We sing praises to your name, O Most High.
Shout for joy to God, all the earth.
Sing the glory of his name. Give him your glorious praise.
Say to God, how awesome are your deeds.
So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you.
All the earth worships you and sings praises to you.
They sing praises to your name.
Come and see what God has done.
He is awesome in his deeds for the children of man.
Blessed be God.
Because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me.
All the earth worships you and sings praises to you.
They sing praises to your name.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord.
To sing praises to your name, O Most High. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever.
Amen.
God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after the Epiphany from the 13th chapter of Exodus, beginning with verse 12. Now you should devote to the Lord the first offspring of every womb, the first offspring of every beast that you own. The males belong to the Lord. But every first offspring of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. But if you do not redeem it, then you shall break its neck, and every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And it shall be when your son asks you in the time to come, saying, "What is this?" Then you shall say to him, "With a powerful hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, from the house of slavery. And it came about when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord the males, the first offspring of every womb. But every firstborn of my sons I redeem. So I shall serve as a sign on your hand and on your forehead. For with a powerful hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt. Now it came about when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way in the land of the Philistines, even though it was near. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and they return to Egypt. Hence God led the people around the way of the wilderness to the Red Sea. The sons of Israel went up in martial array from the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God shall surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones from here with you. Then they set out from the Sukkoth and camped in Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. And he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Here endeth the Old Testament reading. We continue with the gradual printed in your bulletin. He sent out his word and healed them.
And deliver them from their destruction.
Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love,
for his wondrous works to the children of man.
Our epistle reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Ephesus, the 5th chapter, starting with verse 22. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. For let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Here ends the epistle reading. We continue with the Alleluia. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Alleluia.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel according to St. John. And the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus also was invited, and his disciples, to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what do I have to do with you? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were six stone watering pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to their brim. And he said to them, "Draw some of it out and take it to the head waiter." And they took it to him. And when the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man serves the good wine first, but when men have drunk freely, then that which is poor. You have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed, found on page 22.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again in glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who saved by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated, and if you take out your bulletins again, I realize when I was doing the reading, so I forgot to do the confessional reading. Let's do the Lord's Prayer here. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The seventh petition.
But deliver us from evil.
What does this mean?
We pray in this petition as the Son of the Law, that our Father in heaven would deliver us from the evil body and soul, property and honor, and finally, when our last hour has come, grant us a blessed end, and graciously take us from this veil of tears to himself in heaven.
We continue with our hymn printed on the inside of that insert.
Thank you.
this morning, our gospel is based on the gospel, which was read earlier. This beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and there they stayed a few days. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, the account of Jesus turning the water into wine has had an interesting history. Some people have tried to prove that Mary is a mediator with Christ for the church, while others have cited it to prove the exact opposite. When prohibition was hotly debated around the country, the American church was divided as to whether Jesus made wine or grape juice. And so, was he a supporter of social drinking, or was he a supporter of abstinence? It is part of the continuing wonder of God's word that it survives this kind of treatment and continues to do its discreet but essential job of nurturing the life of his church. Dear saints in Christ, as you meditate on the meaning of these words, you will see with the eyes of faith that this first miracle of Jesus was a sign for the times of God's mission on earth as it revealed in Christ. In the light of this revelation, you can be God's sign to the men of your generation, which is the mission of the church. Now, the miracle at Cana was a sign for the times. This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee. This is stated by the witness of this text. Now, the word sign is well chosen. It is used throughout the New Testament to describe the function of Jesus' miracles. His miracles were signs for the time in which he lived as a man among mankind. Now, to those who were waiting for the redemption of Israel, there were moments of truth, events that revealed to them that the promised Messiah had come. Turning water into wine was a miracle of nature. Nature does it all the time through a variety of processes which any botanist can describe in scientific detail. But the Lord of nature performs countless such miracles every day of your existence. And each of them points to the greatness, to the wisdom, and to the love of your Creator. Now, when Jesus changes water into wine instantaneously, it is a sign pointing to something more than the wonder of God's creating power. It is a sign pointing to the wonder of God's redeeming power. It says something about the man whose commanding word affects the change. It says that God is present in the man in a unique way and for a unique purpose. God does not do tricks. He takes seriously, more seriously than any of you, the purpose of his law, the laws of nature which he has established. When they are suspended, accelerated, or liberated from the effects of Adam's fall into sin, the subsequent miracle is not an end in itself, but it is a sign pointing to the one who performed it, that you might see the extremely greater miracle which God is effecting in the world through Jesus. Jesus' miracle at Cana was a sign for the times. He revealed to his disciples that the messianic age had come. The prophets in the centuries before the birth of Jesus had spoken with enthusiasm about the messianic age. As a quote from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah shows, on this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wine on the lees well refined. So it would be a time of feasting, and a time of celebrating. Now, when the disciples of John the Baptist asked Jesus why his disciples did not fast in the way that they and the Pharisees did, Jesus' response was, from Matthew's gospel, "Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them?" In parable after parable, Jesus compares the coming kingdom of heaven to a feast, to the disciples at the time, and to the later church in retrospect. The miracle Jesus performed at the wedding at Cana was a sign pointing to the arrival of the Messiah to usher in the kingdom of God. Later on in the service, you also will feast on food prepared for you by Jesus, where you receive the forgiveness of sins, the strengthening of your faith. Now, the miracle at Cana was not and is not a play to the galleries of the curious and to the skeptical. Jesus had passed through great temptations after his baptism by John in the Jordan River. The great deceiver, the tempter, Satan, tried to get Jesus to use the power and privilege of his divine sonship to bypass the difficult road that led to the cross. He told Jesus he should use his power to make bread from the stones, and thus prove to himself that he was the Son of God, or that he should cast himself down from the temple spire and prove to the people that he was the invincible emancipator that they had been praying for. Or finally, he should fall down and just worship Satan as if the only way to avoid suffering, humiliation, and death lay in the close cooperation with the prince of this world. Jesus had come to the certainty through much prayer and through inner struggles that the way of salvation for the world was the way of the cross for him. Later on, he was even to call Peter Satan for arrogantly insisting that Jesus' crucifixion talk was defeatist nonsense. At the wedding in Cana, Jesus shows this same sensitivity in his reaction to the suggestion made by his mother that he might use the occasion to reveal something of his divinity, something of his divinity to all those people who were there. And his response, "Woman, what have you to do with me?" is hardly an example of a well-mannered response to maternal suggestion, but it is a strong affirmation of his determination, which was always being under attack, to walk the way of the cross. "My hour has not yet come," he tells his mother Mary. "It would come only after much suffering, after draining to the depths the cup which his father had prepared for him. It would finally come in the resurrection from the grave, by which act, according to the Apostle Paul, he was designated Son of God in power. Oh, Jesus changed the water into wine in a way calculated to draw as little attention as possible to the event while preserving its character of a sign pointing to his messiahship. A messiahship involving humiliation and the disgraceful death of the cross. Their people had been before. There would be people afterwards who would impress people with what appeared to be supernatural powers. The leaders of the people would later accuse Jesus of doing these miracles through the power of Beelzebub. Well, the Pharisees never doubted that miracles happened. Their concern on the surface is quite appropriate. But the people understand in what direction the miraculous sign was actually pointing. Was this sign pointing to God? Was this sign pointing to his adversary, Satan? In the face of undeniable evidence that Jesus had used his miraculous power to heal the sick, give sight to the blind, and even raise the dead, they resorted to the demand that he produced an unmistakable sign from heaven itself. Jesus responded that the only sign they would get would be the sign of Jonah, which he interpreted as a sign pointing to his resurrection after his rejection and execution at their hands. The interpretation of Jesus' miracles is as significant as the miracles themselves. But the task of interpretation is not always a simple one. The steward of the feast at the wedding in Cana interpreted this first miracle of Jesus as an unprecedented reversal of a strange way of running a reception. Or the servants who drew the water knew that Jesus had done the miraculous. But the text does not indicate what conclusions they drew. But the text wants you to know the significance of this miraculous event for Jesus' disciples was that they believed in him. It was a sign for them that the man who had called them away from their homes and from their occupations was truly the Messiah. Saints in Christ, this faith would be put to test many times during their association with Jesus. On the one hand, it was reinforced by the miracles of love that they saw him perform. And at the same time, it led them to hope that with such power at his disposal, Jesus would be able to overcome his enemies in spite of his constant references to the cross. It was not until after his death and resurrection that they were able to correctly interpret the events that they had witnessed as his dear disciples. The signs point to the messiahship of Jesus are veiled and incomplete when separated from the cross. It is pointless to discuss the miracles of Jesus apart from the greatest heavenly glory so that he might die on your behalf, destroying him who has the power of death and ushering a new era of God's grace to all who believe in him. What sign does God give then for your time? This is a question you cannot avoid, nor do you want to avoid it. Your age, no less than the one which Christ came originally, needs to see God's love at work. It needs to combat and overcome the powers of darkness that plague this world until your Lord's second coming. Your age needs signs for faith no less than did the New Testament age. The miracle accompanied the dawning of the Messianic age should not surprise you. They were signs that God was acting in a unique way to ransom his fallen creation from the captivity of sin, death, and the power of the devil. The once-for-all character of Christ coming in the flesh is reflected in the once-for-all event of the outburst of miracles that accompanied that event. Now, your mission is not to perform miracles in the sense that Jesus performed them. If that were your mission, then the power to perform miracles would accompany the commission, as did the beginning of the Messianic Age. Nor is it your mission to debate with people whether or not Jesus actually did the miracles which the scriptures say he performed. Only faith can affirm those miracles. No, your mission is to be the sign to your fellow man that is in need, that God acted decisively and victoriously in Jesus Christ to redeem the world from the futility that is so characteristic of it. People in your age, as in every other age, desire peace, justice, and hope. Your fellow man share with you the need for a sense of meaning and purpose in life and in history. How shall you share with them the joyful discovery that through Jesus Christ, God freely gives you all these things and so much more? How shall you be the sign to them that there really is a God who loves them enough to die upon the cross for them? The most effective way to be such a sign is to reflect the miraculous change that is taking place in your own life. God's Spirit is working in you to free you from guilt, to free you from fear, from self-centeredness and lust, from the compulsion to prove yourself to be superior to others. You are part of an ongoing revelation against the establishment of sin and death. This is what St. Paul is speaking about when he says, "Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good." Now, if you recall, these words follow the opening verses of Romans 12, where the apostle writes, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So when you prove what the will of God is, then you are signs pointing to the miraculous power of God that worked through Jesus Christ to redeem the world. Just as the power of love changed the water into wine to help some humble people out of a minor social jam, so it works in countless ways, little and in big ones, to renew your minds and to transform your personalities. Why? So you can be the kind of people God wants you to be, disciples of Jesus Christ. Your miraculous transformation is not an end in itself, but a means by which God continues to make known the blessings of his kingdom. Love, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Your mission in life is not to be Christians in isolation, but always in relation. The relationship to God you call faith, the relationship to your neighbor, love, the relationship to the future described by the word hope. Everything you say or do in all these relationships should reflect the impact on you of the powerful coming of the kingdom of God. The mission of the church is to faithfully proclaim that same impact to the world all around you, to the people, institutions, yes, to the whole spectrum of living and dead life that constitutes this universe. Dear saints in Christ, talk about miracles. The water should change into wine is an irreproachable marvel, to be sure. But that sinners should turn into saints, that the kingdom of the world should be the kingdom of the Lord and of his Christ, that you should see and believe and participate in, is an even greater miracle. All honor and praise to God who gives you the revelation of his glorious power in his life, death, and resurrection of his Son, Jesus, and empowers you by his Spirit so that you can be signs to others around you. Amen.
Amen.
Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with the offertory. Shed his blood to redeem us and make us his holy and spotless bride. Sustain us in faithfulness and increase our desire for him alone. Turn our hearts from every false god, that we may receive the full joy of life with Christ now and forever. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, lead all pastors and church leaders to imitate the servants at Cana and do as Christ instructs. Give them boldness to preach the law and the gospel rightly, and graciously provide for all their earthly needs. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the gift of marriage and family. Make the relationship between each husband and wife a picture of Christ's ceaseless love for his bride, the church, that we may live in your forgiving love. Grant parents your care as they raise their children, and give every father and mother a zeal that points them constantly to your ways and your forgiveness. Fill children with obedience, respect, and love for their parents and other authorities. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, guide and give wisdom to the nation and our president, the governor of this state, and all judges and magistrates. Protect those who serve as firefighters, police, disaster workers, and medical personnel. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, remember the sick and those who care for them, the dying and those who mourn, those who struggle with mental illness, especially those without name before you in our hearts. Heal them according to your will, and grant comfort and peace in their trials. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, recall your people from the temptation, strife, and captivity of this world. Return them to the rich land of your church, where the fruits of your Son's precious death flourish. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that of your grace you have instituted holy matrimony, which you keep us from unchastity and other offenses. We implore you, send your blessing on every husband and wife. Do not let them provoke one another to anger and strife, but let them live peaceably together in love and godliness. Strengthen them with your gracious help in all temptations. Help them to rear their children in accordance with your will. Grant us all to walk before you in purity and holiness, putting our trust in you and leading such lives on earth that in the world to come, we may have everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Continue with our communion hymn.
Our God, He is the eternal right.
that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, for what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
take us away the sin of the world.
take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat, true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. By this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Heart and peace, serve the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Given into death for your sin. Take, eat, true body of Christ, given into death for your sin.
Thank you.
preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Soul to life everlasting. Part of peace. and soul to life everlasting. Our peace be with you.
Thank you.
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee, O God, of thy mercy, thou wouldst strengthen us for the same in faith toward thee, and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless me the Lord. Bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious to thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.
Thank you. seated.